Awesome. Thank you, Bev. Well, it is, I'm in the middle of 2 weeks of my year that are probably the busiest 2 weeks. I heard a colleague, a fellow youth pastor of mine, call it May-cember for her, because she had her conference and her mission trip in the end of May. So this is my June-cember for me. So I would appreciate your prayers as I just got back from conference with Pastor Bill and with Doug and go on our mission trip this week, but I'm very much looking forward to it. This week is celebrated across the Christian church as Trinity Sunday. And the Trinity is a nice, easy, simple concept to deal with this week. Now I'm being sarcastic. The Trinity is a very complex issue that people who do study religion and scripture and Christianity all their lives, and that's all this time they spend doing, still cannot agree on the aspects of the Trinity and how it exactly works. So I can't guarantee that you will have a robust, complete understanding of what the Trinity is after this sermon, but my hope and prayer with the Holy Spirit's help is that you will come away with something that will help you understand your faith life a little bit more. So as I went to conference, I heard a lot about the challenges of the future of the church, and this is nothing new to any of us who have been following the United Methodist Church, but one thing that's kind of helped my spirit get through this is to remember that the church is about 2,000 years old, and that the Holy Spirit has been working in and among the church through many, many other struggles and challenging times, and it will continue to do so in the future. So what I thought I would do this morning is to go back to some of our foundations. No, before John Wesley, there was still a church around. This is before John Wesley. This is actually was made in 325, what I'm about to read to you. Some of you may know it's the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. Can we go to the next slide? For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scripture. Maybe. Oh, man, right in the middle. The third day he rose again in accordance with the scripture. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic Church and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we are in this challenging time in our church, I think it's helpful to remember what we do have in common. So as I said, this is called the Nicene Creed. It was created at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. It was created to clarify Christian thought and belief and to combat some of the misconceptions that were being taught about this new religion called Christianity. It was modified slightly from its original version over the following decades, but in general remains the same from its original version in 325. To this day, it remains the only truly ecumenical statement of faith. meaning that this creed is accepted by the Catholic Church, all Orthodox faiths, as well as all Protestant denominations. And as I said, this week is called Trinity Sunday, so I thought it would be good to start out with this creed as our foundation as we think about God as three in one and one in three. This past week, clergy and lay people from all over East Ohio gathered together. This annual coming together is part of our Wesleyan heritage. In fact, John Wesley said that there were several ways a person could experience God's grace. This included prayer and scripture reading, fasting, communion, and yes, holy conferencing. Now, one could argue about the amount of grace that was felt during the debate, if God was truly present during our voting, but there is no debate that God certainly wanted me to eat all that ice cream. And I did. Wesley began this practice in 1745 of meeting together with clergy and lay persons, lay preachers. This was a time to discuss the doctrine of the running of the church, as he saw this way the Holy Spirit could work through the church. They discussed what and how to preach, how churches should be set up, and who was allowed to attend society meetings, what we would today be called small groups. But what does all of this have to do with the scriptures that we read today? Well, in Proverbs, we heard from a woman named Wisdom, a woman whose scripture tells us was created first before God created anything else. From the beginning, God does not choose to work alone. Although God is all-knowing and all-powerful, he chooses to work in community. In the example from Proverbs with Wisdom, and of course, God works as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wisdom is a creation of God, created before the earth. This is not a reference necessarily to the Holy Spirit, because the scripture tells us that wisdom was created and not co-eternal with God. But Proverbs tells us that before God created anything else, he created wisdom. And wisdom here is personified as a woman and spoke directly to the reader. She reminds us of the wonderful craftsman that God is. Wisdom said that God was creating and she was right there beside him, delighting in all that he was doing. And as in thinking about God, we have to remember that it's the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember from the Nicene Creed from that year 325 AD, Christians have been confessing the co-eternal nature of the Trinity. It said, speaking of Christ, that he was eternally begotten of the Father, the Holy Spirit, proceeding from the Father and is the giver of life. God is individual. In looking at the Trinity, it would be far simpler for our minds to think about God in three distinct parts. It would be so much clearer to say that there are three gods, which each of their own unique style and working in the way in the world and among humanity. It would be so much simpler, but it would in fact make God smaller than he is. To limit God's function to only the Father or only the Son or only the Holy Spirit would minimize each part. God is one. In John, we hear both the relational and individual aspects of God. Christ says that all the Father has, he has. And that when the disciples receive the Holy Spirit, it will bring the Spirit of Christ to them. All three parts working together in humanity and through the world. In Proverbs, when Wisdom talks about God creating the world and humanity, and Wisdom is in awe of his creation. In reading Proverbs, it reminded me of the beginning of the book of John. In John 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." God from the beginning is in all things, and through him, all things came to be. God is individual, but God is also communal. Because of this, God is concerned with all of creation, not just one person or a group of people's needs. This is one of the greatest controversies that Jesus preached. The religious Jews of his day understood God's word to be saying that God's blessing and hope was only for the Jewish people. If you read the Old Testament with that lens, you can find very clearly passages in the books of Moses that say God loves the Israelites over all other people. For the Pharisees, they saw the scripture as black and white. No ifs, ands, or buts. But Jesus comes to earth as God in the flesh and reminds humanity that God is in and among all people. No matter where they come from or how they worship, he loves them all, even those who do not know God. God is communal with all of creation. Every human is loved by God. The Pharisees had so limited God that they made him out to be a God that only loves those who the Pharisees saw fit to deserve love. But Jesus instead calls those uneducated fishermen, the hated tax collectors, the woman with the checkered past. He calls all people to stand, to spread God's love, because Christ knew that from the beginning of creation, God was in all of creation and loved all of humanity. We as people who claim to follow Christ are called to care for and be concerned about all of God's creation, and not just those or that which has the capacity to benefit us. This challenges the world we live in, where we are taught to look out for ourselves first and others later. Ideally, as Christians, we are to be in relationship with one another, recognizing that we are more than individual people who happen to come together on various occasions to worship God. We are to be in connection with those whom God has placed in our lives, working together as one body, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We honored and celebrated this empowerment last week through Pentecost. This is one way the church is different than any other community action group that goes out into the world to do good. We claim the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Another difference is we are called into relationship. We are called into, as I mentioned, we're called with each other, but also in relationship with God. God is relational. And according to Proverbs, God worked with wisdom to create the world. On this Sunday, we recognize the Trinity. We honor the fact that God also works three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to be in the world. This is a quality of God that has been true from the beginning of time. We see in Genesis Abraham's covenant with God. In Exodus, God covenants with Moses. In Ezekiel, we find God reminding the people that through his prophet, that is his, and he will be their God in the future. In Isaiah and Jeremiah, God reminds his people that although they experience trouble now, he is still their God, and he will deliver them if they stay in relationship with him. Paul, in his letters, continually tell the churches and communities that he writes to that he is constantly praying for them and reminding them that God is with them through all that they face. And of course, Christ promises in Matthew 28:20 that he will be with his people through all time. Very early on, our scriptural ancestors knew that the body of Christ would need to be clear about its standing on the nature of God and how God interacts with creation. In the Nicene Creed, we are reminded that there was never a time before God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always were and always will be. In Proverbs, we hear from wisdom, personified as a woman, and reminded that God created the world, and not only did he create the world, but he loves his creation, all of his creation. He did not make mistakes or accidents in the way he made his work. While it was God who created, he chooses to invite human beings to play a part in creation. God is God, but he also wants to be in communion with humanity. He calls us to care for his creation in an unselfish and loving way that puts our individual needs aside for the good of those in need of care. God wants to be in relationship with us and us in relationship with him and with each other. Throughout Scripture, God is reminding us of this desire. Through the Trinity, we experience God's love and power if we choose to claim it. Through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we be people worthy of the power entrusted to us. Amen.